podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/noship. Over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And the suggestion for today is Chainsaw Confidential, written by Gunnar Hansen. Steve, do you want to introduce us to Gunnar Hansen?
Gunnar Hansen played the original Leatherface in the original 70s flick Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Not the new millennium stuff, but the original 70s stuff that actually looked like awesome. It really, really happened. I had the pleasure of meeting this fine gentleman in 2013 in New Orleans at the Mad Monster Horror Con that was being held there. He's a really nice guy. And I got him to sign an 8x10, and he had, I think the book at the time was in pre-order or something like that, because he didn't have it for sale, because I would have picked one up. But I got a little card. It was a nice little laminated card that said the Chainsaw Confidential was coming out. So
yeah, and so it's about behind the scenes and how they made Texas Chainsaw Massacre, written by Gunnar Hansen and narrated by Gunnar Hansen.
All right, let's do it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Deadite Bites. Tonight we will be discussing Ash vs. Evil Dead, Season 2, Episode 2, The Morgue. This is a No Shit Network podcast. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm your host, Paul.
And I am your host, Em.
All right, we are recording tonight in No Shit Network Studio B. There was a problem with the computer in Studio A, so we moved into Steve's man cave. That's where we're at doing this now. So if there's any kind of difference in the sound, you can attribute it to that. But I think Em will make it sound beautiful like she always does. So this All episode right. is entitled The Morgue with a subtitled What
In the Butt.
It was directed by Tony Tilse, written by Cameron Welsh, and produced by the usual suspects of Raimi, Camel, and Tapper. All right, before we get into the dirty of it all, let's get your thoughts on this. What do you guys think?
That was amazing.
It was.
It was amazing, especially the scene in the morgue was just...
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and it had me laughing and disgusted all at the same time, which is hard to do. I mean, it was fucking vile, but genius.
Yeah, I was watching it by myself, doing squats. I had to stop at that point, but the squats are great when that song was like, down low. But I was laughing out loud, and it was disgusting, but not in the way where I felt like I needed to vomit or anything.
No, exactly.
This is the kind of scene where Peter Jackson watches it, and he's like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I need to go back to school.
Why didn't I think of that?
So we've got Dead Alive 2 coming down the road, because he's got to try to top that. I loved it, as usual. Another flawless victory for everybody involved with the Evil Dead franchise. It's like a great – watching a season of this is like listening to a really good mixtape on the level of – remember the movie High Fidelity when John Cusack is kind of talking mm-hmm. about how you make a mixtape? You come in big, you go a little bit bigger right after that, and then you level it off. So the previews for the next episode looks like they level it off a little, but I'm sure there's some nasty surprises in there. But they just – every time you think there's not another notch that they can kick it up to, they find one and they give it to you. And it is just good, gory fun. And I it's a thoroughly enjoyable show. It's really the only show that I recap. I occasionally do recaps for Vikings. I did some for Penny Dreadful, and I pinch hit it once or twice for Twin Peaks. But this is – it's not a chore at all to recap, which sometimes the recapping can be mm-hmm. quite a task. But I have fun doing it just because I'm looking at the paper as I do it all in, you know, longhand, and I'm thinking to myself,
does it start to write itself in blood?
Yes, it inks itself in blood. And I'm like I say, I hate to abuse this turn of phrase, but I'm always spoiled for choice as far as my Metal Mic quote of the week. Do we want to get those out of the way now?
Yes.
Or all right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, well, I hate to say it, but I've got two. One's short and simple, which... Like you last week, I definitely plan on using the first one at work. Sack up, sunshine.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's beautiful. And then the second one is, I'm going to be like a ninja losing his virginity. Quick and discreet. Because it's genius. It's another, they come up with so many fun, genius little sayings that it's like, damn it. Why didn't I think of that? It's right there. It's amazing.
What's yours?
Mine is, I'll give you the abbreviated version. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Mine is a combo when Kelly and Ash are in the hospital. when they're talking about what they used to do to Sheriff Emery when he was a student. And she goes, "That is horrible, but also awesome." And he says, "Which is everything that I do."
How true that is.
All right. So let's jump right into recap. The morgue. So Brock is, he's rocking Valeri on the vinyl, the Frank Sinatra song, just going to town. And, you know, he gets ready for his date with Lillian. Mm-hmm. And you really see where, we saw it last episode, but you really see it in this episode where Ash gets all his tomfoolery from, where he's looking in the mirror. I mean, he's even got the blue shirt on, you know? It's not buttoned up, but he's got the blue shirt on, and he's just like, oh, sweet, and stuff. What I thought was nice is there's a little bit of a shot going through where you see more pictures of Ash as a child, which actually look like older pictures of Bruce Campbell
they
dug up, which I'm pretty sure that they were. And so I guess they're trying to establish that at one time there was a loving father-son relationship going on here. Maybe not so much now. So the three amigos plus Ruby interrupt, and the first thing that Brock says is, "Looks like you found Bigfoot."
That's so fucked up.
So they stand there and they argue about Brock not standing by Ash, and you know, they kind of rehash a little bit of the stuff that they had last episode, fleshing out why this relationship hasn't worked. It's basically Brock didn't stand up for Ash when he had a chance to. And this is where, you know, the good quote of "sack up, sunshine," looked like I'm going to be using that at work too. That's definitely on the roster now.
Oh, it's pretty appropriate for what we do for a living. So I love it.
So, you know, Brock tells him basically, yeah, you can go up to your room and get whatever crap you need, but then go ahead and do that. Stay out of my hair because I got, you know, somebody coming over and he's going to be up to his elbows in cheesecake, which just when you think that you can't hear you can't hear the sex act described any more of a grotesque way, either Ash or his dad will come in and do you one up, you know? So
I'm curious where cheesecake comes in, you know, like, but it works.
I remember cheesecake being referred to as porno magazines back in the day. That's what
really?
Yeah, that's what they would call it. People call it that cheesecake stuff. That was just, I don't know where it originally originated from, where it came from. If any of our listeners have any insight into that, and you don't, you know, I would say if that's not too gross of a subject to breach, but after this episode, all bets are off. We can talk about anything.
I just think it's funny. Exactly. I just think it's funny that you were wondering where the cheesecake came in. It's like you're disappointed that you haven't there was no cheesecake.
Not like that.
Also.
Well, I mean, of all the things, I'm going to be arms deep in cheesecake. It's like,
where's the
damn
cheesecake?
Why not like fudge pie or hair pie or something else? You know, cheesecake's kind of good. Well, I guess that works, right?
Yeah, it works. The way y'all hound for it. Come on.
So the gang goes upstairs and Ruby comes up to Brock and she's kind of like, by the way, Bigfoot has a name and it's Ruby. And so he has, which is an early contender for the Metal Mike quote of the week. And he's like, okay, well, tell the story while you're walking. He says, I'm done conversating. It's time for some fornicating.
See, and that yes. meaty did not go as we kind of expected. We expected Brock to hit on her, but he's got cheesecake coming over, so I guess
right, exactly. Right. You know.
Plus, Ruby she's looking a little rough,
like Bigfoot.
Yeah, she's disheveled to say the least. Yeah. And I guess this makes sense why I was wondering about it on my second watch about why Ash keeps going, don't let her touch anything in the room unless she wants to tidy up. Because it's like he likes the hot Ruby, and he's not really too happy with this, you know, like
he
dirty.
He meant tidy up his room.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah.
No wonder you're confused about that. Because he was like, what does he mean by that? I'm like, tidy up.
Unless she wants
like
to
clean.
Do.
Yeah,
unless
clean
she wants
her room.
To do the womanly chores and clean up his room.
Yeah.
Duh. All right. Okay. Now it makes sense. Thank you. See, this is why we do a podcast, so we can all clue each other in on the things that we missed.
Same page.
Yeah. We're all on the same page now. Makes fucking sense. Goddamn. Well, hey, you know, there's a lot of misogynism going around lately. So at least I'm not in on that. I didn't assume that Ruby would, you know, spend her time tidying up somebody else's 30-year-old underwear drawer.
And I do have to admit, his room is pretty badass.
Oh, his room is badass. So Ash has a flashback about his sister Cheryl as he walks down the hallway because obviously, you know, we tend to kind of forget it, but his sister was with him on the trip and she was the first one to turn deadeye. And there's a part here where he's hallucinating and he's seeing her and she says, turn it off. And it's not that elevates it from just a quick little flashback scene to kind of tie you back to the original trilogy of movies. And that lets you know how much I love Evil Dead, because there's usually only one original trilogy in my life. But
yeah,
he could have stopped this, or he could have just not been the cause if he didn't play that goddamn tape in the first place.
Right.
But as we said in the coverage, I would have been that guy playing the tape, so I can't really fault him for it. He didn't know that was going to happen. He was just curious. So.
Well, the thing is, you needed a friend like me in the cabin, because I would have stopped you from playing it. I would have made a scene. It would have been bad.
You would have done just like the pretzels at the beer fest when you slapped them out of my hand.
That's right. That's exactly right. It'd been like, no, don't do it.
10-second explanation. We were all at a beer fest a couple of years ago, and there was some pretzels sitting out there for everybody to grab. So, you know, people probably had anything on their
hands. They were not individually wrapped pretzels.
Not individually wrapped. No. So I grabbed a couple and popped them in my mouth, and I went over to Em and Paul and Paul's wife, who were talking, because I kind of got a little bit behind to grab the pretzels, and Paul looks at me.
We were in mid's conversation talking about how nasty those pretzels are. They probably have doo-doo particles on them.
And as,
oh, tons of doo-doo particles.
As I was going to put one in my mouth, Paul slaps all of them right out of my hand, like I'm a bad child.
And Steve's all, what?
And I just look up and I'm like, what the fuck is that about? But it was too funny to be anything else.
That and I had been drinking, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm saving your life, man. You colon.
I appreciate it. In hindsight, I totally appreciate it. It was a good move. Thank you. So anyway, Kelly looks at the expression on Ash's face, and she thinks he's having an LSD flashback. And so I don't know if we want to comment on this living in Florida, but she says, Ash, I warned you about that Florida LSD. That shit's not to be messed with.
She's got a point. Trust me.
Yeah. I've heard from a friend of a friend that Florida LSD is maybe not the stuff you want to mess with. All right. So Ash's room is a veritable tribute to all things Michigan. We have a Ted Nugent poster, who is, of course, the Motor City Madman. We have an MC5 poster,
sweet,
which MC stands for Motor City 5. We have a Detroit Tigers banner, a Michigan University pendant, an Iggy Pop poster.
I was going to say.
He's also from Detroit. Alice Cooper, and a poster of Suzy Quatro, who I didn't know anything about, but I looked her up, and she is one of the, the first female bass player to become a major rock star. And she was born in Detroit, Michigan as well.
Nice.
There's a neon and a poster of Shemp's beer, which is obviously a fake. It says America's first beer. Everybody knows that America's oldest brewery is actually Yingling, but whatever. But Shemp's beer. So this is just another reference to the Three Stooges and Shemping, as they call it, which if you read or listen to Ash's book, or Ash's book, don't call me Ash. If you read or listen to Bruce Campbell's book, If Chins Could Kill, he talks a lot about Shemping, and it's something that the three of them gave a name to. It's specific things that they do with, you know, having people play other characters. I think I talked about it in one of the movie podcasts, so I won't rehash too much here.
Yeah, which I've been listening to that, and I got past that part. And also I found out that was it Joel Cohen helped? It was Joel or Ethan Cohen.
One of the Cohen brothers, yeah.
Helped edit Evil Dead.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You have posters for Black Sabbath and Atari, and what appears to actually be 99 cans of beer on the wall.
That's a sweet beer collection.
A little bit of porn and one dead lizard.
Oh, I know. That's kind of sad. It's funny because he says, like, oh, he gave up.
Ruby tells them to hurry up and find her kids. Her kids? What about our kids? And she's like, no, Pablo, you're just a portal. You know what I mean? You're not the father. You need to relax. And he's like, Kelly's like saying, are you saying Pablo's a vagina?
Poor guy. He just can't win.
I know. Just coming at him from all directions. But it was funny because he was like trying to take ownership of the, you know, parentage
he's
like of
trying
kids.
To do the right
thing.
Your
kids, they came out of me.
Yeah. So anyway, Ruby reveals that she had hid the book in a cadaver at the morgue. So now it's time for Ash and Kelly to go retrieve it. This is where all the fun starts in this episode. Meanwhile, at the morgue, the mortician goes about his job until a reanimated corpse slices his Achilles and ends him with a knife to the head, and then we get the title spray.
And that was very, very Kill Bill when Beatrix kills Buck, who likes to fuck.
Right.
Because she waits for him on the floor like that, and then she takes out his Achilles tendon. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Quick question. Do you guys think you could be morticians?
I think I could.
I think I could with the right amount of training. Well, obviously, that goes without saying. But I mean, with the right amount of preparation for that kind of, to be able to look at blood and guts on that kind of level. You know what I mean?
I don't think I could do it. I really don't. I don't think, because my wife was like, I could totally do that job. And it's like, I would last about 2 minutes. The first time they put the knife in and cut a motherfucker open, I would either puke, vomit, pass out, both, or have to leave, because I just honestly don't think I could do it.
I've done a lot of biology labs, and I've worked with dead things, so I can do it.
Animals wouldn't be so bad, but a person, it's a whole different thing. You know what I mean? That's interesting. It's just curious.
I think it just becomes your workplace.
If you have like an aversion to seeing any kind of blood and guts and stuff like that, it's just, some people just can't handle it. They're not going to be able to do it. And I understand that. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I know I couldn't. 100% sure. Not for me. Although the jokes would be fun. Don't get me wrong. I'd have fun with it, but it would still be bad.
So it turns out that Ruby hid the book inside of the corpse to hide the scent of it from her kids, which is disgusting in and of itself, because apparently they can smell the book, but it smells like rotting flesh, which Ash just had it in his trailer that whole time, and he probably couldn't tell the difference between...
No, come on. You know that thing smelled like a teenage boy's room.
Oh, God,
that's
yeah.
That's why he wants Ruby to tidy up.
Yeah, yeah. All right, rub it in. That's cool.
Well, I like it that Pablo fucking nuts up and he's like, guys, I got this. You know, it was a nice turn. Because I don't know if he would have done it last season.
He's ready to face her. He's
he wants to know what the fuck is going on. You know.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah. So, I would too.
So there's another quote here in the running for quote of the week, and he says, "Look, I would trust a blind proctologist more than her." Little do we know that the whole proctologist thing is going to come up again in short order.
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
It's foreshadowing.
So, yeah. Pablo opts to keep watch over Ruby with the dagger, while Ash and Kelly go get the book and then to get some answers out of her. And so he says, oh, I'm not so much of a vagina now, after, you know, he says all the stuff that Kelly says is badass. And she's like, well, actually, vaginas are powerful and life-affirming, so you're even more of a vagina than you were before. And Ash is like, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, buddy. It's like, you can't win. You just can't win. So as they're leaving, Ash says, holy pickle dicks, it's Lillian Pendergrass. And he has to explain this whole situation to Kelly about how she used to be, what was it, a gymnast, I think? And then she became their, like, one of their teachers
phys
at school.
Teacher,
yeah, phys ed teacher.
Short shorts.
And she wore the little short shorts and everything. And then he's like, sorry, daddy's got to go to work. And then Kelly's like, looks like big daddy's home today and he's working. And he's like, damn it, again. And then she's all, what, again? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
He looks super pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you guys noticed this, but as they drive away, you see his dad's truck, his work truck that's sitting there. And it says, Brock Williams has wood. Call me. And it's got an axe just sitting there.
That's awesome. No, I totally missed it.
So Ash and Kelly get into the hospital morgue like a ninja losing his virginity, quick and discreet. And she's bringing up some real world considerations that we don't really think about a lot, or at least we didn't last season. We're starting to now with the whole ashy slashy thing, that there's actually, you know, there's law enforcement that's going to get involved. I mean, there was law enforcement last season, but it was different with Amanda and everything. I mean, she kind of came over to their side fairly quickly because she realized what was going on and she knew it killed her partner. Yeah. But you're not going to get Sheriff Emery to see things your way. You know,
he's just hell gonna, no.
So
she wasn't even in the bar, so why is she so focused on law enforcement?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't
even
know why he...
Someone needs to be, like, focusing on these kinds of things.
Well,
so I think they're just kind of giving it to her because she seems to be a little more versed now than she was last season, so she's kind of thinking ahead of, okay, we can't just keep getting dumb lucky and dumb as fuck. Now we're breaking into hospitals and morgues and shit. So I'm glad Kelly's taking on that role of, okay, guys, we need to be a little smarter instead of fucking a bunch of dumbasses just kind of falling into things.
Yeah.
Well, they had law enforcement messing with them last season, though, with Amanda.
Yeah, but... She was kind of new to it all, though. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. So, like, this season, she's thinking, like, okay, we need to be a little more careful because they got They got real lucky with that, with law enforcement last season.
Yeah.
It was Amanda, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amanda Fisher.
That's right.
Well, the question isn't why, to me, why Kelly is caring about law enforcement, but rather how Sheriff Emery knows that
they're there
with Ash, because unless he saw something outside of the window of the bar, I don't really know how he would know that.
Well, it's a small town, too.
Yeah, though, people are probably talking.
He's probably following him.
Yeah. You got a rock star, exactly, a following. You got someone like, you know, Ashy Slashy showing up. The kids that were outside of the house probably told them that it was three of them. Now, is this a real town in Michigan?
Elk Grove.
Anybody look? Yeah.
There's an Elk Grove village in Illinois.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, Ash tries to figure out which cadaver holds the book, first unveiling a pretty young woman, and is just exclaming, "What a waste! What a waste!" He's kind of going on about it. So he tries using the little bone saw until he sees his chainsaw out of the corner of the eye of his eye, and then he starts cutting open corpses and trying to find the book, making quite a mess of the morgue in the process.
Yeah, he makes quick work, like a ninja who's a virgin.
He's not very discreet, though.
I mean,
you're going to come into that morgue and you're going to know that there was shenanigans. So Pablo wants some answers out of Ruby, but she handles him pretty easily. Now it's time for him to answer some questions to her. You're just like, oh, geez, all the bravado that he's showing is just for nothing.
Yeah, he lasts about a minute, maybe two.
After making a horrible, disgusting mess of the morgue, Ash finally finds the cadaver with the book in it. And he's just like, ah, oh, look first, cut later. I mean, if he had just looked at all of them and saw which ones
obvious.
Actually had the... I mean, this thing has this huge book inside of it. So Kelly tries to get a Faygo, and just as she is about to give up and shoot the vending machine, Sheriff Emery shows up. And so, you know, and starts talking to her and asking her questions and stuff like that. So back in the morgue, Ash continues his fight with the now independent colon that was wrapped around the Necronomicon in the first place.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, okay. You guys.
It's like gripping the Necronomicon. Yeah. That was awesome. It had teeth.
Right.
So it was like Sarlacc pit teeth.
Yeah, it was all like pointy and shit.
And by the way, Kelly looks like Han Solo. She's got Han Solo pants on.
Does she have the red stripe?
Well, it's not red, but she does have a stripe down the side.
It's fucking badass. Well, she's been rocking a good look since the first episode. It's only two, but
yeah. They've
really upgraded her for sure.
So Sheriff Emery and Kelly go back and forth about Ash. And, you know, he's kind of taking the dumb small town sheriff role. And he's like, well, look, you know, since this bozo rolled into town, a lot of people have been dying. And she's like, wow, somebody's on the fast track to detective. So I really like this scene because he tries to move past her. She's just like, she doesn't say anything, but she's like, no, you're not getting past me.
Yeah.
And then he goes over to the side and she goes over to the side. So finally he grabs her and throws her up against the machine. I'm like, damn. But she holds her own and she makes him pay for that. So I really like that scene, and it kind of echoes what happens with Pablo and Ruby, only he's the one getting the shit knocked out of him.
Well,
so.
I just want to ask you guys, because Castle Grayskull wrote in last podcast wondering if it was a different Kelly. Does he really have a glass jaw, or is this Kelly supernaturally strong?
It's possible, but I think Kelly's smart enough to where, like, the last year of in Florida and all the other fighting, that maybe she's been practicing on her own, too. I look at it that way. I mean, when you're fighting, you know, the Deadites and demons and stuff, you would think you would want to be studying how to defend yourself in hand-to-hand combat, because it always seems to go that route. So I think it's R. Kelly. Not R.
Yeah,
Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute.
She did make it look like somebody pissed on him.
You know, so I'm thinking it's her. I don't think it's the Deadeye Kelly. Because if it was the Deadeye Kelly, she would have gone after the book while Ash had it in front of her, you know?
And I think if that's a storyline that we're going to go down, I think they're going to show us where the real Kelly is and what she's doing.
Exactly.
You know, trying to get back to the group and stuff like that. But it did cross my mind. So, there, you know, I thought about Castle Grayskull's theory for a second because it crossed my mind.
Well, he did that last year, too. He comes up with some really good theories. I love him.
So what follows in the morgue is one of the most over-the-top and disgusting scenes in the history of anything ever. That includes anything ever. Ash's head goes right up the butt, but first he gets a cock on his face. Then he wears the cadaver like a butt-first puppet bodysuit.
Yeah, it's like a person hat.
Yes.
It's fucking amazing. And because the dick in the episode had a ring on it, and it was like, oh, it's going to, and then it got on his face, and you're like, oh, fuck. Then he just slides right in, and it's like, oh, my God. And luckily, I decided to eat dinner before.
Yeah, always a good idea.
Episode. Yes.
Always a good idea with this show, because that shit, it was like liquid and squishy. You can hear the cadaver farting it out. And then he's like, no. So it's on.
Then his head pops up in the stomach. Oh, I was dying, man. It was beautiful.
When he yells out.
It was beautiful.
He's got two. He's like, don't suck my Johnson. You know, when the colon thing goes for his dick.
Gets on him.
And then the other one, he's like, get your dick off my face.
It's so good.
Well, I spotted that pierced penis like long before. I mean, I never. It's because you see the woman, you see her naked, and then I see that, and I'm like, full frontal crap. That's right. We're watching Stars, and did not see where that was going. boy.
No.
That's so awesome.
So after Ash blows off the colon, he grabs a Nomicon and sends, After Ash blows out the colon for the final time, he grabs the Necronomicon and sees that Lillian Pendergrass has died of pneumonia and the mortician is in her place. Dun, 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 dun. Brock and Lillian
down
are watching.
Down low. He's down.
Down low. When it first came on, it was like, down low. I thought that was a Deadite voice. But so Brock and Lillian are watching television as he eats chips and drinks Shemp beer. Did you notice what they were watching on TV?
No.
It was an episode of Spartacus.
It was the penultimate episode of the final season.
It was one from War of the Dam. You can see Liam McIntyre for a second in there.
That's fucking awesome. No, I didn't even notice.
The first image is you see somebody's head fly and hit the ground.
You can hear him talking and he's like, not one Roman can stand against me or something, something to that effect.
It's all come full circle.
So they were podcasting on a show, and in that show, they're watching a show that we podcasted on.
That was our first show we podcasted on. Awesome.
So Deadite Lillian shows an unhealthy interest on where Ash is. And, you know, Brock is just kind of like, who gives a fuck? I don't care if he comes back in 10 minutes or 30 years. He's trying to get some Splenda.
He's ready to get busy, and I'm like, no, dude, Spartacus is on. We ain't getting busy.
I know, right?
Priorities. We could get busy after
Spartacus. And wine, and then make your move. Duh.
Yeah.
When you see the credits, that's when you make the move.
Yeah. Let's see some full frontal nudity in the Ludus, and then you get the juices flowing. So Ruby informs Pablo that the book has never attached itself to a human before and asks if he is having premonitions. She knocks him out the same way that Kelly did to Sheriff Emery. So yeah. I'm not really – this becomes somewhat of like a – not a dream sequence, but like a premonition sequence, and I'm not – quite clear on when that begins and when it ends. You know, well, I know when it ends is when he wakes up and tells her about the fingernail, but I'm not sure exactly at what point it begins. So Kelly and Ashpour, go ahead.
Well, real quick, do you think this is the first piece of what's inside of Ruby? You know, because I don't think Ruby's herself. I think Ruby's been possessed, obviously, by some demon that wrote the Necronomicon. And we saw the fingernail come out. So is that, like, the very first time we see an actual piece of the demon, maybe?
Maybe. I've seen an image, though, where it looks like somebody like Wormtongue has that same fingernail and is threatening Ruby with it. So I'm wondering if the premonition he's having where he's Ruby's saying, you disappointed me this time, or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe Ball's going to say that to her.
Oh,
so maybe she, like, what the being hogtied like that, Ruby's going to be the one hogtied.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I like that.
So Kelly and Ash pour soda on Emery's crotch, hoping not to go to jail because of it. And this is where they say the great quote about, this is horrible,
smart,
but also awesome. And he's like, just like everything I do. Yeah, you know, he's going to wake up and be like, oh, God damn it, I pissed myself again, even though it smells like ginger ale. So Brock gets ready to fornicate, but Lily is ready to attack. So she goes upstairs to the little girl's room to freshen up, but she's really going to see Ashy Slashy, thinking he's up there. So rolling back through town, Ash almost runs over some kids, and there's some great quotes in this scene too, you know, because the kids are all like, you know, he tells him, he's like, hey, get out of there, you know, roads are for cars. And the guy's like, says something. He smarts off to Ash or something like that.
Well, he says something like, look at this piece of shit car. And he's like, well, it smells like a piece of shit, too.
Well, he says something to him because he goes, he's like, he tells the kid, or the kid tells him something. And Ash is like, you need to wait until your balls drop before you talk to me, son. And then Kelly's all like, enjoy puberty as they drive away. So here we have the scene where Pablo is actually hogtied and Ruby tells him he has the power of precognition. Then she cuts his throat because he's like, cut me down. And she goes, as you wish. So he awakes from the dream to hear Lily knocking at the door. And Lily and Ruby start fighting. And Ruby beats some dead-eyed ass. You know, she takes her to town. So we get to, she's finally showing up with a little bit of her dead-eyed powers. We really haven't seen it so far this season because she's just been getting gored in the side by her creepy kids. I guess she decided not to use that power on them because I don't know. Maybe she
loves them or something.
Yeah, she doesn't really want to hurt them, but
she's confusing as always.
But yeah, she flies across the room and she decapitates her with what looks like a trophy or something from. But I don't understand like what trophy would be in Ash's room. What would he have wanted? What would he have won a trophy for?
Shit-talking trophy?
Yeah,
that's or a good
he
question.
Kicked someone's ass and took it.
Yeah,
it's my trophy. Wham.
So did you notice as she's getting decapitated, like right next to her, he has a street sign that says Lillian Drive?
No.
Yeah.
Nice.
Back from the time when he was driving Miss Lillian. So Pablo tells Ruby that in his vision, she slit his throat with a fingernail. And she calls it right off. She's like, that's Ball. That's the kid's real father. And so I looked that up. And Ball is, I didn't really, there was a lot on Wikipedia, too much to kind of regurgitate here. But
yeah,
Ball is in old Hebrew, like biblical Hebrew, it means Lord. But it kind of got changed with Christianity and Islam, and then it became something a little more evil. Like they, instead of directing it towards lords, they directed it towards false lords and then false gods. And then you've got Baals above, which became Beels above. And so, so we just get Dana Carvey with the church lady. Could it be Satan?
Wasn't that one of the names of one of the Forsaken, like in Wheel of Time?
Like, was it? Baal,
it
was like,
it could have been
Baal something. So, you know, Ruby's cleaning off the phlegm that she got in her face from you know, the lady who had pneumonia and then died.
Phlegm, all that yellow-green stuff that came out.
Ugh, disgusting. That, I always,
it
I like,
was a lot.
I love it when they use new colors. That's always fun.
Well, they have gotten Lucy Lawless covered in goop 2 episodes in a row. I wonder if they're going to go all 8 with it.
Hopefully they'll all have a shower before the next one because Ash definitely needs it. And he
Ash
literally
smells like shit. She's covered in loogies.
And she's always completely disgusted when it happens to her, but you would think you would think she would be used to it by now. I mean, she's the mother of like these poo-poo.
I think that's genuine disgust from Lucy Lawless, though. Like, act like you're disgusted, no problem.
Yeah, I can do it.
It's Bilal. Bilal is a
Bilal, okay.
Ah, okay.
So Ruby's like, all right, cool. So where's the fucking book? Did you fail? And, you know, they're all like, no, he didn't fail. Ashley J. Williams doesn't know the meaning of a lot of words, but he definitely doesn't know the meaning of the word fail, which I think
that's
he does. I think he does. But that's a great line. Yeah. So he's like, it's hidden safely in the Delta. Right then you hear the door slam and the tire screech and the kids ride off with the Delta. Fuck you, Ashy Slashy.
Well, you've got the book in the car. You'd think he would take precaution and lock the motherfucker and not leave the keys in it.
You would think. One would think. But
people have only been graffitiing that house for however long.
Yeah. I mean, they know who he is. They know where he lives. It's a small town. You know, so
I'll just leave the keys in it. They'll never take it.
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But
well, you know we're going to see that kid get fucked up next episode, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the preview to the next episode?
No.
They throw a party at the bar hoping that the kids will show up. And he pulls out a little bag and it says ketamine on it. So, and there's the last image you get of the preview from Starz Channel is him riding a bull.
Oh, yes.
An electric bull.
Sweet.
Yeah. So this will be.
Oh, this will be good.
Yeah. Everybody runs downstairs and watches the Delta ride off into the sunset while the kid's going, fuck you, Ashy Slashy. And he's like, see, right up the pooper, which is, it's a theme this episode. Something's going right up somebody's pooper pretty much the whole time. So, all right. That's it for our coverage of season 2, episode 2, The Morgue. Now it's time to hear from you guys. Feedback.
And before we get into feedback, I like to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported podcast. And if you would like to support us, there are many, many ways you could do so. If you go to our website at www.noship.net and click on our support page, you can find the various ways you can support us, either by writing reviews, which we would really love to have. We have a link that will take you directly to iTunes, makes it real easy for you. We also have an Amazon link that you can click on, as well as other options if you're wanting to donate some cash. All right, we are now going to go ahead and get into feedback. First up, we have Metal Mike, and he says, "What is up, no shippers? So the beginning of season 2 started in this hospital slash morgue, then Ruby went to the crematorium to hide out. I can't remember if it was asked last week, but why is Ruby even in Elk's Grove? She was clearly there already when she decided Ash was her only hope. How long has she been there? Maybe she was randomly moving around Michigan and just happened to land there. I have no idea at this point, but maybe it doesn't matter at all. I think it's weird. What do you think? Significant or no?" Good question.
That's a great question.
I think significant, right?
Yeah, it has to be. There has to be some sort of significance. The only thing I could think of off the top of my head would be that whatever ritual that she used to get him there, it needed to be in Elk Grove for like as a homing beacon or something like that.
I like that idea.
That's the only thing I could think of off the top of my head, but there might be a better in-world kind of reason for it. I'm not sure, but it is a great question.
I don't know what would be better than that.
Maybe the whole town is just a bunch of demons. No, I'm just
I'm sure some of them will be by the end of this season.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Sunnydale of Michigan.
It's a hellmouth. It's not a hellmouth. It's a hell butthole.
Yeah.
Oh, the hell ass.
The hell ass, yeah. Hella, hella.
So Metal Mike goes on to say, "Within the last couple months, I have seen pictures of Bruce Campbell with sort of a buzz cut in press photos and con photos. I am not sure if it is because of another project or this TV show. I'm not sure what the significance would be if it was part of the show. Do you think the haircut is part of this season of the show? Weird question, I know, but I have been trying to think of weird or funny scenarios like Ash losing his locks like Samson and can't fight the Deadites well anymore. Any thoughts on this random weird topic?"
Huh. Maybe it gets burnt off with the acid? I don't know. I mean, it could be Deadite cooties. He's got to shave it all off, or crabs.
Deadite crabs.
He just can't get the smell of shit out of his hair.
It could be.
Shave it.
There's really no way to, it's interesting, but there's really no way to tell. I mean, without knowing what's coming up, like, I cannot imagine, like, what would necessitate him having to cut his hair in show.
Fire.
So maybe there is some other project that he's working on right afterwards. Because, I mean, they wrapped up shooting on this months ago, you know?
Yeah.
And if he's doing the con circuit right now, then, you know, mm-hmm. Who knows?
Metal Mike says, "My Metal Mike quote of the week goes to Ash with, 'Oh God, I'm in the butt.'"
That's a good one.
I'm in the butt. I'm in the butt. Usually when you say that, it's a good thing, but not now. Not now.
That's a strong colon, too, just to yank it up the butt like that. You got to kind of work it.
See, that's why you don't want to eat E. coli. It will take over your colon. No beer fest pretzels.
No. Bring your own pretzels.
Lesson learned.
So Metal Mike goes on to say, "With closed captioning on it, also had colon screeching in brackets during those scenes. Utterly fantastic, but also fucking disgusting for a Sunday morning breakfast viewing."
Nice.
Take care. Metal Mike from New Hampshire. Dig it.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. It.
How's your Cheerios?
Yeah.
Our next one comes from Scott Pike, who we were calling Polearm last season.
Oh, Polearm. Welcome.
What's up?
He's got a very, very short piece of feedback. And he says, "This is the episode where they finally went too far. Asshole. Nuff said. I did like the Cheryl flashback scenes, and the sad music was really great."
Too far.
So did he like the butthole stuff, or did he not like it? It kind of sounds like Polearm didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't think he liked it. He said they went too far up the butt.
Well, who doesn't like Two in the Pink and Ash in the Stink?
Yeah. Oh. I, you know, if there was an episode out of all the ones we've seen so far that somebody would just draw the line and say, this is it, you know, they went too far for me, this would probably be the one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was great, gory, over the top fun as usual. Then they really pushed the envelope. I mean, I saw the little mini clip. If you watch at the end of the episode, they always talk to Tapper, at least in this season.
Yeah.
And he's saying, he goes, this scene makes me laugh. And every time I watch it, you know,
yeah,
I feel like
I laughed my ass off.
We did a really good job. Yeah. And I thought it was all in good fun. I mean,
I hope I see somebody with that Halloween costume on.
Oh my God.
They're
getting all of the candy that we have. And
they don't have enough time to make it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be an endeavor.
You would have to actually have the suit.
Yeah. You would need like some kind of mannequin and then melt it.
Yeah.
All in the stomach. Be pretty awesome, though.
Maybe you could be the top guy naked with your
have someone's head up my ass. No, I'm okay. So I got this great idea. Yeah. If you can convince someone to do it, then hey, maybe, you know. Got a great idea for a costume. I need to put your head up my ass.
If we can make this work. We can make this work.
All greased up.
Well, I'm sorry, Pole Arm, that you didn't like it, but just keep watching. Stay with it. It's a good show.
Yeah.
Don't let this throw you off. They probably won't try to top that in the next couple episodes.
I don't think they could, so I doubt they'll try. Yeah. This, like, beat the Meat Puppets from last season.
For sure.
So
I mean, it's something I've never seen in any kind of horror film or comedy or anything.
Anything. Disgusting.
All right, thanks, Pole Arm.
Thanks, man.
Next up, we got Castle Grayskull. Hey guys, Grayskull here. I think my score for last week's episode was a little off, so I went back and did a rewatch. Going to give it a 8.5 the second time round. I'll put that down to a shitty day at work.
Fair enough.
Totally understandable.
You can rate them low. I rate them low from time to time, even though we're not rating them anymore. But
I'm rating it every week, but it's always a 10 for me. So it's like, I just feel like I'm biased at this point.
Yeah, mine is always a 10. I'll inform you guys if it's ever lower, you know?
If
they roll out with a 9.5 or a 9.75, I'll let you know.
Yeah, this week would have been a 10 if I was rating, but they're not always a 10. So Castle Grayskull goes on to say, so this week's episode was a corker. I loved it. Thought Ash in the morgue was very, very, very Three Stooges heavy with all the slapstick comedy. Love the bit with that poxy tool for cutting the cadaver not working and him just looking at the chainsaw. And you know instantly that it's going to be carnage. Oh, and Ash disappearing at that guy's poop chute was just horrifying. Disappeared, then reappeared. Had a nice little window.
A helmet. It was a person helmet.
We got a little bit more info about Ruby being a traitor, or is this all a big ruse? Could she just be playing the wolf pack till she gets what she wants? Her three naked asshole kids dead. Then she can go about her business with the book. My Metal Mike quote of the week goes to Ash, look first, cut later. I'd give this episode another 8.5 Evil Lori dolls out of 10. Okay, guys, catch you down the road. Grayskull out.
Thanks, Grayskull.
Thanks. He could have actually a good point to where maybe Pablo's going to turn into Ball. What was the dude's name again? Ball?
Yeah. Huh.
That she's using them to bring Daddy in. So then the family's all together, and he can control the kids.
So she still needs him as a portal.
Yeah, because like she said, maybe, air quotes, that no one's ever worn the mask before, but maybe it's going to be her way. Like, she's realizing that that's the way to bring Daddy involved, because you can't trust her.
No. Well, you know,
I mean,
the thing about evil is that it works towards its own selfish nature. So just because, you know, creatures or beings are evil doesn't mean they're on the same side. They'll both try to kill you, but then they'll try to kill each other just as fast. Because evil is completely selfish. It has no conception of, like, it makes brotherhoods and alliances out of convenience only, and they only stick together as long as necessary, you know, as long as it's useful. So, you know, that Deadite Lillian calling Ruby a traitor, it's like, yeah, sure, but she's still bad. You know,
exactly.
As Ash said, the jury's out on this one.
I am evil.
Don't you mess around with me.
Thanks, Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, thank you, man.
All right, next up, we got Anthony Bassage. Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
He says, hi, No Shippers. Season 2 is off to another terrific start. That scene with the deadite intestine has to be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in a movie or a show. It was repugnant on so many levels and for so many reasons. You could start with a pierced pecker and keep going from there. It was on the level of Human Centipede, The Exorcist, and Sallow, The 120 Days of Sodom, all rolled into one sickening scatological sequence of awesomeness. A great idea executed beautifully. And to think how disgusting that sequence was already with Ash's necronomatopsies.
Necronomatopsies. Oh, nice. Yes.
That's awesome.
That's a great word.
Chainsaw necronomatopsy. I'm naming a death metal band after that as soon as I learn to play an instrument.
Anthony says, my Metal Mic quote of the week is from Kelly. Well, actually, vaginas are powerful and life-affirming, so technically, you're more of a vagina now than you ever been. Although Ash's line about waiting for your balls to drop before you can talk to him gets a very close second. And one more thing about this episode. Love, love that Susie Quattro poster in Ash's room. Also, I wanted to point out the two possible poltergeist references from last week. I don't think they were mentioned, so I thought I'd run them by you this week. The first one was when Pablo ripped his face off. One of the parapsychologists in Poltergeist had a similar illusion when he ripped his own face off in the bathroom. Didn't he have maggots, too?
Mm-hmm. Man, it's been so long since I've seen Poltergeist.
Like the original?
Yeah.
When Kelly was floating in the flooded crematorium, a skeleton floats up to her. This reminded me of that scene in Poltergeist when Jo Beth Williams fell into the pool and she discovered the skeletons floating around in there. Love your coverage this season and looking forward to more. Anthony Scalia. Just kidding.
Whoa.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Excellent feedback. And thanks again for commissioning us to do the movie. We had a really good time doing it, and we hope you like it. And if anybody else wants us to commission one, do it. We'd love to talk about the movies.
When the cadaver was a cadaver, it didn't have...
Now, do you think Bruce Campbell knew about this cadaver bit, or do you think they came to him when, look, this he next always, episode?
He always gets pissed off when he reads the scripts. So you know he read the script, and he was probably just threw it on the ground, you know?
Oh, yeah. You want me to what?
There's a scene in the little after footage where they show the behind-the-scenes stuff, and they're talking about they had to make four of those cadaver things, you know, to get with all the different angles that they were filming it from to make it look right, because the stuff they had to use it for, they couldn't just use one and then keep doing it. And there's they have a scene where he's taking a break, Campbell is, and he's sitting up against one of the meat lockers, and he's got the guy on his head, and he's got intestines wrapped around his neck, and he just looks like he's just like, give me some coffee. Like he doesn't want to be there, you know, and he's just thinking, here I am with Raimi and Tappert once again getting tortured. Mm-hmm. You know, next thing you know, they're just going to make him piss his pants, and then he's not going
to probably even said it as a joke. That cock better not be pierced.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, listening to his book, they both have done their part, too. You know, with the Evil Dead movies, Sam Raimi was knocked out.
Oh, yeah. They put their work into it. They just have a lot of fun torturing whoever's going to play the lead role.
And then Robert Tappert was like one of the, you know, the fleshy legs that was on. So they had to build the floor up around him, and his like muscles started cramping and everything, and still had to follow through. So
well, and those guys would stay up when they were doing the cabin shoots. They were up for like almost days at a time. It's like super, super cold. You know, they're subsisting off of coffee and, you know, whatever else they can
apparently
get.
They're defeated by chili, though. That'll knock those fuckers out.
Chili.
Get stuff done. Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, we got our thanks, Anthony. So now we've got John Bernardi. And John says, hi, I'm Stephen Paul. I was going to start off my greeting with, all right, you naked assholes, but it's missing a certain level of respect, so I had to scribble it out. You don't need to scribble it out.
In this podcast, it's okay. It's okay.
He says, I've only seen season 2's first episode so far, but I already love Lee Majors and think he'll fit in fine here. I'm glad they get the $6 million man joke out of the way immediately, and I wonder if the writers named him Brock after the Venture Brothers' favorite Swedish murder machine, Brock Samson. That would make me smile for sure. About Ash's Depends road trip trick. I hear that's how all those people who do New Year's Eve in Times Square need to roll, because bathrooms just aren't available. For them, necessity. For Ash, convenience. Roll down the windows,
everybody.
That kind
of makes sense.
I didn't know that.
Ah, so you're in Times Square. I heard you can't leave. Once they corral you in there into Times Square for New Year's Eve, you can't go. If you go, you're done for
the
night.
Is it worth
it? You can't. No, fuck no.
No.
I would never. I don't like yourself? To be around that many people anyway, but now you're around a bunch of people who just all piss themselves. And I guess if you pissed yourself too, it's fine.
Everybody's probably scratching their crotches too. I mean, that shit gets
Well,
tricky,
everybody
right?
cool pisses themselves.
Yeah, yeah. what is that? That Adam Sandler flick? He's like, yeah,
it's
everybody.
Tommy Boy. No.
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
Yeah.
Because then that old lady makes a joke about, if that's true, then I'm Billy something Davis or something.
Super cool.
That was terrible. But... Niles Davis? Miles Davis? Yeah. She's like, if that's true, then I'd be Miles Davis.
So John goes on to say, I love how Kelly and Pablo are getting drenched in blood and dealing exclusively with moments of actual terror, shadows, and shadow selves, while Ash is dealing with the same through a Three Stooges lens, keeps the teeth in the creepy stuff when only one of them plays it for laughs. Favorite gag of the episode is Cologne being part of Ash's arsenal, and I am shocked they let Ash make it to Jacksonville at all. I figured his big dream destination would be a Lucy with the football kind of thing, but it's funnier that he gets there and finds out his goofy party lifestyle really was as high an aspiration as he was capable of. Excellent timing on an Audible ad, by the way. I'll be using your code next week to get that sweet catnip Mark Frost's The Secret History of Twin Peaks. Yes, I pre-ordered that.
Is that coming out next week?
Yep.
Finally. Shit.
Nice.
Oh, and I also listened to your latest commission podcast, and I can't get West End Girls out of my head. Thanks. Take care, John.
Well, John, I mean, that's what happens when you travel to the eastern town of Tamwall. East End boys and West End girls. I didn't make it up.
I just think it's funny he called us assholes, and he hasn't even seen episode 2.
Maybe he saw a preview for it or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe he's just an asshole.
Yeah, maybe you're just, yeah. Thanks, Dick Stick. Well, thanks as always, John. I'm glad you're watching the show. That's cool.
Yeah, big time.
If anybody's been to Times Square for New Year's and War Depends, let us know if it was worth it. I want to know.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it makes sense. It's either that or hold it. I could make it because I have a camel mode that I go in to where I just don't pee. I mean, it's just one of those things.
I don't pee during movies. Like, if I go to a movie, I will wait the whole movie. I do not get up to go pee because I hate that. Mm-hmm.
I have levels.
Plus, it is worth it because when you do pee, it feels fucking great.
Right? I agree.
I've got levels. I can hold it probably 75-80% of the time, but then there'll be that one time where I just have to get up and go, and it's like, I'm going to have somebody fill me in on the 2 minutes that I missed or watch it again or whatever have you, but you just got to go. And then you have so much in your bladder that you're standing there and you're like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. You know, it's coming out as fast as it can, you know, but you're watching the movie and you're just like, damn it, damn it, damn it. But
oh yeah,
that's why it was cool. We went, when we were in Boise, we saw, what was it? The Two Towers?
Was that the Egyptian?
At the Egyptian.
Yeah, it was
and
the
they
Two
had
Towers.
They had an intermission.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
They had, like, right when Gandalf knocks Grima Wormtongue out of the king.
Yeah.
And then they stop the film, and then for, like, about 15 or 20 minutes, everybody gets to get up, stretch mm-hmm. their legs.
They should do that with these longer films nowadays. That's genius.
I mean, we watched The Revenant back in January of this year, and, I mean, by the time it was – I didn't get up and go, but by the time it was done, I mean, it was like a three-minute piss.
Yeah, see, I don't know, man. I just shut off. I mean, we went and watched a football game a couple weeks ago, and I drank, like, two pitchers and – didn't need to pee, and finally I got home and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go pee, and finally went to the bathroom.
Damn.
And I think it's all the years of riding with my dad on road trips, and he was very, very clear, I'm not stopping. So if you need to go, force it, or don't drink any water. Because I remember my sister crying, and then finally my mom would make a pull over. So it's just training, you know?
I went out on a boat trip one time, and it was just a small little boat, and it was me and my friend. We were like in 10th grade, and then his younger brother and his dad who owned the boat, and we went out in the, I think it was the Sound or whatever, and we were fishing for a while. And I had to pee from pretty much 20 minutes into the trip till 2 hours later. And I have a shy bladder. I can't piss in front of people. I can now more to an extent. You know, if I got to go, I just say, fuck it, I got to go. But back then, I couldn't really do it. And so we got back to land, and I ran behind a tree. And I mean, I was there for like 3 or 4 minutes. Just it was just going out and out and out and out. I mean,
yeah.
It just the voiding your bladder like that is its own kind of ecstasy.
It is.
Oh, for sure. When it's a good strong pee.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh yeah, I used to get in trouble because I would just pee sometimes. You know, like we'd be playing. You know how on base you've got housing, and then there'll be like a little courtyard in the middle.
Uh-huh.
I got caught a couple times just instead of going inside to pee, I would just walk over to a tree and take a piss in front of everybody, and my mom would beat my ass for it, man. It's like, what are you doing? It's like taking a piss.
It's nature.
What's the deal? No one can see my wiener. I'm good.
John Bernardi, are you so happy you wrote in? You got to hear us talk about us. Our pee experience.
That's what you get.
I would totally listen to this. It's fun. They have their own stories. I bet everybody could write us a story about pee at one point in their lives.
Yeah.
I would love to hear it. Tell us your pee stories.
Send in your pee stories, and we'll put it on the all thing. Don't hold back.
No way, we're putting it on here.
Oh, okay, we'll put it on here. Yeah, we'll put it on Ash versus Evil Dead, Deadite Bites.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a Deadite exclusive.
So thank you for joining us once again for another fun evening of jokes and disgustingness and talking about Evil Dead, one of our favorite things to do. Next week, we will return, same bat time, same bat website, with Season 2, Episode 3, which I believe is entitled Last Call. Looks to be a good one. Hopefully, Ted Raimi shows up in this one. I'm kind of waiting for that.
I know. I was like, you know what? I'm only okay with Ted Raimi not being in this episode because of the whole colon monster scene.
Right, right. That,
yeah.
I didn't see him in the preview, but that doesn't mean shit because the preview's literally less than a minute long. So, you know.
He's got to be showing up next episode.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
we shall await. Till then, this has been a No Ship Network podcast. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm your host, Paul.
And I am your host, M.
Look first, cut second.
That's right. Sleep tight. Don't let the deadites bite.